Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to Boom Chuck, a Drummer's Podcast. You just heard my guest Sam Ward on drums there. I got a lot to talk about with this guy. This is going to be awesome. We're meeting for the first time and having some drinks virtually. I'm just going to get right to it. My first question to you, sir, is...
Yes.
Who are you?
My name is Sam Ward. I'm a drummer. I live in Los Angeles. Yep. I actually am from Boston, Massachusetts, so I'm really... My home is Boston at heart.
I hear it. I hear it in your voice.
You hear it?
Yeah,
you hear it. Comes out a little bit. Like yeah. It comes out at certain times. Like when the Red Sox are in the playoffs or whatever, it comes out sometimes, you know? Yep. So, but yeah, I'm from Boston. Boston's always will be my home at heart. I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston, cool. 2009 to 2013. I'm currently a freelance. I'm a session musician. I'm a studio drummer, also touring drummer for certain people. I'm also a teacher, so, you know, I've always been doing that, but yeah. When I came out here, the kind of goal was to transition to doing, like, more, like, less teaching and, like, more live stuff, but I've kind of realized as I've been out here that teaching is, like, it actually is really important to me, and, it's, like, you know, obviously it's a good income source and stuff, sure. But it's also just, it actually means a lot to me, like, spiritually and as a drummer, just to be able to share things that, it's really cool when, like, you know, a drummer... You know, especially a young good drummer,
yeah,
wants to learn from you, and like they listen to you, and they think that what you have to say is, you know, legitimate, and like they want to listen, and it's just, I think that's really cool, and I also want to share whatever I can give, you know, I mean, whatever I can give, like I'd love to share it with other people that are interested, you know.
Let's go back. So obviously, you mentioned you went to Berklee, even before that. So growing up, you know, in the Boston metropolitan area, how did it start with you? I mean, it was like. A lot of guys I've talked to, their dads were drummers or their musical family or something like that. What, like, growing up, when did it hit and you just go like, oh, man, I'm going to be a drummer?
You know, that's a good question. I would say, well, it was when I was about 4 years old, my parents, like, realized, and I remember this, that I was constantly, like, tapping out rhythms on tables and shit. Like, you know, the typical story.
Right, right, right.
And, like, I would do this crazy thing where I would smack my hand on the, I don't know if you know that trick that people do with the hi-hats where they have like two sticks and you kind of like, kind of play like eighth notes, but it turns into 16th or 16th notes and it turns into 32nd notes or whatever on the hi-hat with up and down. I would do that with my hand on the table. And it's weird because if I do it now, like it hurts. It hurts a lot. And it's like really painful, but it's like I remember doing it and it was like really rhythmic and it was, I'd be like, you know, and I would do it like rhythmically.
Nice.
So anyway, it's funny because, like, if I did that now, my hands would be, like, bruised and cut up. But I used to love it. And so now, you know, my parents were like, well, maybe he should, you know, do you want to play drums? And they showed me a couple drummers. Like, I don't remember what they showed me or whatever. They're not musicians themselves.
And you were four, you said, right? So this is, like,
I was
way
four.
Early. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really early. I was four. And they were like, do you want to try playing the drums? And I was like, yeah. Like, and I kind of didn't really know what that was yet. But you know, I checked out a couple of drummers on the internet. I forget what was even available then, but my parents showed me some videos of drummers. It wasn't YouTube for sure, but you know, they showed my mom's family is like all musicians. My dad has no really music to speak of in his family, so it's like I don't really come from musicians, but my mom's family does have like her a couple of her brothers are like one of her brothers is a professional guitar player. He's a blues guitar player, Tony O.
Yeah,
he's been doing this for like 50 years, and so there is music in her family, but. You know, I they got me a drum set when I was four, and then I started taking lessons when I was five. The lessons were like, you know, I didn't really quite get what was going on. I don't think I felt like I had it at that point. I felt like, you know, even at that age, I felt like I knew I didn't understand what was going on. So I did it a little bit. I learned a couple grooves, and then I just stopped. But then throughout the next several years, like, I knew it was kind of weird because music was what I wanted to do. I was really into sports at the time too, but then I kind of kept playing and I kept getting, you know, more and more into music and it kept calling me more. And so by the time I was 12 was when I really, that's when I committed to being a drummer.
Right on.
So 12 years old, I remember that really specifically. It was like a very specific day. It was in seventh grade. And I remember that day I was at like our school meeting or whatever. And one of my homies, like, little brothers was a really talented drummer.
Yeah.
His name was Justin. I'm sure if he sees this, I'll probably send this to him. But like, you know, he actually really low key like inspired me to play the drums, and I don't think he knows that. It's this guy I kind of still stay in touch with, but
yeah,
like if it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd be playing the drums. And he was really good, so they did him and his little band did this really cool little showcase at our school meeting.
Yeah,
and they crushed it, and I kind of remembered like how much I liked to play the drums, and like I kind of almost felt like jealous at the time. It was like this feeling of like, oh, they're so cool,
yeah,
and they're like younger than me. And like, I'm jealous a little bit too, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody's like, whoa, like, they're so sick, you know? And I'm like, damn, you know? And I'm like, you know, it's like, that's cool, you know? And I forgot that I used to do that too. So
right.
I went home that day, and I went back on my little kit. I was like 12 now, so the little kit was like too small, you know?
Right, right.
But like,
yeah,
I played on this little like CB percussion kit. And I was like, I remembered a couple of grooves that I could play, and I taught myself a couple new grooves, and it felt good. So at that moment, that was the moment. Like, 5 was the introduction.
Yeah.
But when I was 12, after that day at the school meeting, that was the moment where I realized, like, I made the decision in my head, like, I'm going to be a drummer.
Yeah.
And period. And it really hasn't changed since then. Like, there's been, like, you know, changes to my attitude and my approach, but I haven't changed since then, really. The goal hasn't changed since that moment.
That's crazy that you can remember. I mean, just so specifically, right? Like, even you almost know it's true at that point because you're like, this is what, I mean, I could pinpoint when it was. That just means
right.
It's real, right? Like, that's cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
From 12 on, did you take private lessons? Did you go band in school? Like, what was ultimately going up to the point where you're like, I'm going to Berkeley? Like, what did you do from that point forward?
So, yeah, at that point, I mean, my parents recognized that, like, they recognized how into it I was.
Yeah.
So they had already obviously bought me the drum set when I was 5. And then at that point, they were like, you want to take lessons? My parents were always really supportive of me and stuff. And they had me in a good school, and they, like, the school had, they offered drum lessons at the school.
Oh, nice.
So even the kid, Justin, that I was like inspired by, he took lessons at the school from this one guy.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I'll take lessons at the school from that guy. He seems to be doing a good job with Justin, you know?
Right.
And it was cool. Like, I started taking lessons almost, I think it was almost like immediate. Like, I started taking lessons like maybe like a week after that experience.
Nice.
I started
yeah.
playing in the basement, reteaching myself anything I knew. And then I took the lesson. I remember the lesson was cool because I remember the guy was kind of like, you know, you always want to have like reinforcement. You want people to be impressed with you, you know,
right.
And it kind of makes you more motivated to continue. So the guy was impressed that I could play as much as I could without, you know, really having any. He didn't know that I'd ever really played or had lessons at all. I hadn't had any lessons really except for that one when I was five. But, you know, he was impressed and it made me feel good. So I continued, and I was like, yeah, let's do this every week, you know, whatever. It's like every Wednesday or whatever, and after school. So I started taking lessons every week. I got really into it at that point. Like I said, it just really became like I'm a pretty obsessive person. And at that point, it was like, I need to practice every day.
Yeah.
Like, I have a goal in mind, and like, if it has to be every day, and it has to be like, I wanted to practice it. My goal was at least an hour a day at that point, and I was 12. So I started pretty much doing that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I wish I had that now as an adult. Like, that passion. I mean, I do, but it's like, to go at 12, be like, I'm doing an hour a day and sticking to it. Like, that's, to me, I'm like, if I could find an hour a day, that'd be amazing. That's not like,
I know.
You know, 12 at night, you know?
That's the crazy thing, though, man. It's like, because even now, I mean, as much as I've grown and as much as I've experienced as a drummer, like, I still feel every day like I need to build my skills up. And when I don't,
sure.
when I skip a day, like I don't feel good about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even now, like whether it's playing a show or practicing or just like being in the studio, playing, just like playing my instrument, you know, if I skip a day, I don't feel good about it at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you have to let it go and just like life goes, you know, you're an adult and things are different now.
Right,
you have
a lot
more things going on. But like, you know, there's some beauty to that, I think, because it's just, you know, I love it so much and it means so much to me just to even, it makes me feel like I'm, you know, like I have a purpose. Like, even if I'm not even, like, it doesn't even have to be a gig or a show or a recording. If I just play the drums and just touch them and I connect to it spiritually for even like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That makes my day like 1,000 times better. And I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, for those people out there that like aren't trying to be like a pro or whatever. It's like, you don't have to be a pro. Like, the part of the whole thing is like having, it's just having an outlet, you know?
Right.
And like,
right.
And so even whether you're doing it professionally or half professionally or not at all, like, the point is like, have a good time and like, you know, just, and like get something out of it and like put that energy like into something good, you know, like there's,
yeah.
We all have a lot of built up energy. Just put it into something cool. You know?
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, it's, I mean, in a way it's therapeutic, you know what I mean? There's a whole
Absolutely.
Music therapy, like whole thing out there, you know, there's college degrees that you can do with this music therapy. Dude, beating the crap out of some drums every day, that solves a lot of problems sometimes. So
yes,
I tell a lot of people that, like, yeah, I'm going to teach you how to do it correctly, but yeah, go for it. Make a bunch of noise. You know, it's
right.
It's soul soothing, you know, really when you can just close your eyes, put on some headphones and go. Who cares what you're playing? Just play, you know?
It is. It really is, man. Yeah.
That's cool,
yeah.
Man.
I completely agree with you.
So yeah. So you got to the point where you got to Berklee. Is there anything that stands out when you were there? I've talked to a few guys that have gone and left or gone not even to Berklee but other schools and concentrated on drums, and they either didn't like it or they liked it and battled their way through, or just got themselves out there where it's just like they wanted so bad, kind of like you were at 12 and even now, like, I want it so bad, I'm gonna do whatever I can. When you got to Berklee, I mean, anything, was there professors that you were like, oh my gosh, I want to be you, I envy you, I want to do that? Was there studies or anything, like, you're quote unquote, your college experience, right? Like, it was drum focused. Is that something that you were like, looking back now, going like, I would never be where I am right now if it wasn't for the X amount of years or however long you spent there creating this version of yourself, really, you know?
No, I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, it's, well, yeah, I think having gone to Berklee, that's a good question, man. I think having gone to Berklee, it was a really cool. It was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And like, I'm trying to think of a good answer to the question. Can you kind of rephrase it a little bit, just because I'm curious.
Like, yeah. I talked to a buddy of mine who got into Berklee, went up, auditioned, got in, everything was great, didn't go, and doesn't regret it. I talked to another guy. It wasn't Berklee. It was another school. He went thinking this was where he should have gone, and he came in low man on the totem pole and worked and worked and worked and put the time in. And a lot of times, and me, I have a freaking music degree, but I mean, to me, I'm like, yeah, I've paid off my college loans, but it's like, I could have went somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Right.
There was, but I loved the smaller school education. I loved the one-on-one lessons. I loved all that sort of thing.
Right.
But it's kind of like, I learned more touring all over the world. And honestly, I learned more teaching than I did paying, you know, bucko bucks to go to some school that really, my school wasn't even a music school, you know? So
right.
It was, I mean, when you're focused at a music school and you're focused such like you are in like the Berklee, you know, like drum system or whatever they call it there. But when you're focused
the Berklee
in on
bubble,
that
bubble, right?
What's is it more, do you have like a specific memory or something there that you're just like, this is why I came here. This is what I did. There's a reason I'm here. Or is it more just like, I went there, I did it. Not even check the box, you know, and it's hard because that's your alma mater.
I see what you're saying.
I didn't check the box, but it's like, was it worth it? Number one, did you get a lot out of it? And I mean, would you ever like push and tell people, no, this is where you need to go, like because of these specific reasons?
You know, actually, Chris, that's like a really, really good question. That's why I wanted to clarify a little bit, because I have a whole shit ton to say about that.
yeah.
And I don't ever want to like, there's so much, like, there's so many different things. And so that's why I wanted to clarify the question.
Bring it.
But yeah.
Let me know. I want to know.
It's a great question, though.
Yeah, I want to know, because, I mean, there's people out there. I mean, kids listen to this. I have students. My students listen to this. It's like, yeah, I could say, like, yeah, go to Berklee. But I didn't go to Berklee. You know what I mean? But
right.
If they strive to go there, hearing from someone that went there that's like, no, you absolutely should, because this is what you're going to get, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
Or not. Or, hey, maybe don't go there. Maybe go or find your path another way. Or, I mean, it's hard to say, like, maybe people have regrets. Maybe they don't. It is what it is. And this is I mean, bring it. Bring it all. I mean, I can cut and edit and do whatever I want. But yeah, I mean, yeah, what is it? What are all the answers to the questions? What do you have for me?
Man, I love it. I think that's like one of the best questions ever, because that's something that I think about all the time. Like, from when I went to Berkeley to now, I think about it probably more now than ever.
Yeah.
And so my answer to that is that, well, it's a bit of a long one, but I'll try to keep it concise, which is that I really value my Berkeley experience. It was like, I don't regret it at all.
Good,
however, I will say that, I think you have to like think about it's crazy, man. Like, in life in general, I've just found that, like, I'm sure you've probably experienced the same thing, where it's like you realize as you get older, like, certain decisions you make that may seem like relatively simple or more like from the heart at the time, they have implications that you don't really like maybe realize later on.
Right.
And whether it's something really serious or something more light, certain decisions you make, you don't really expect them to, but then later, like years later, they have certain implications and you're like kind of surprised like how heavy of a decision that really was and how little thought you may have put into it, but how serious it was, you know? And so that going to Berkeley and going to music school was one of those decisions that has a lot of implications. But of course, like, the money thing is a whole other thing too.
Right.
But like, from a career perspective or like life perspective, has a lot of implications. And you don't really realize that when you're making the decision. That being said, I come from a lifestyle where I went to a high school that was a private high school.
Mm-hmm.
We were all not only we were expected to go to college. Like, we had like a prep like
yeah.
It wasn't a prep school, but it was basically like we had like a prep, like, what do they call it? Like a college. We had a person to like help us get into college.
Yeah,
each of us were assigned like a prep person, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so like you were expected to go to college. So I had like 10 or 15 schools that I even applied to. And that was the expectation, at least 10 to 15, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
I really, in my mind, I just wanted to go to Berkeley. And if it wasn't Berkeley, I just figured I may as well probably go out to LA and start trying to be a professional drummer.
Yeah.
But my parents wouldn't have been cool with that. They wanted me to go to college. So the way I saw it was that I got to get into Berkeley, because otherwise, like, I don't want to go to a liberal arts school. Like, that's going to be a real waste of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I put everything into it. You know, I knew I had the skills. I was pretty sure I had the skills, and I worked really hard. I got in. I got a scholarship, which was really helpful.
Nice.
Honestly, like, I think it helps. They're pretty generous with their scholarships, but I think that they also let in a lot of people because they know that they can pay the tuition. Honestly, if I'm being honest, like, and they know that they know people.
I mean, dude, it's a business, right? Like,
it's a business, of course. And I don't blame them for that at all, you know? And I got a great education out of it, and I learned a whole ton. So I have nothing but praise for Berkeley. Will I give them money when they call me? Absolutely not.
Right?
You know?
No joke.
No, absolutely not. I'm actually a little bit offended when they call me, a little bit. You know, it's like, dude, I paid for this education. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm a drummer. You know what I mean? What are you thinking? What do you think I have to give you? You know what I mean? But it's like, you know, I mean, with that being said, it was a great experience. But one of the things I've unpacked over my years, I'm 30 now, is that, like, I see certain people, it depends what you have to really think about it at an early age. What do you want to do? You know, and it's hard because when you're 17, like, you don't know sometimes at all.
Dude.
Most people don't know. But as a musician, if you're 17 and you're like I was, sure that you want to be a musician, you want to go on tour, you want to be a drummer, like in a band or with artists or whatever it is, you want to be on the road. I had made that decision, and I think if you've made that decision, it might be tough, because if you come from a family that wants you to go to school and they want you to have a degree and all that, it might be really hard. But I do think that if you've made that decision, if you're committed to that and you've put the work in, I think that it's a really good question whether you should decide, should I go to music school or should I actually just go out there and attack the scene and try to make it happen now?
Right.
And I think that's a really legitimate question, because what happens is you go to music school, you learn a lot, you get better, you make a whole ton of connections. That's the biggest part.
Right.
Berkeley, I mean, I met every person that I can consider to be like a legitimate high class musician in this world.
Yeah.
I met them at Berkeley for the most part. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I met some real serious people at Berkeley, and that was the biggest thing. But I think, you know, you have to really consider, like, if you're a drummer, for example, like we are, do you want to be on the road playing with young artists like right now? Do you want to get out there and just tour? And if that's the case, I almost think that you might want to skip the college thing because it's a lot of money. It's a lot of time. Yeah. You end up comparing yourself to these people that are around you, which can be good, by the way.
Right.
But it can also be really detrimental. And I think that like it can slow you down a little bit. And maybe in the long term, it helps you grow. But ultimately, it does slow the process a little bit.
Here's a quick tangent. I want you to finish your question or finish your answer to the question. But do you think as you get, quote unquote, older, I'm older than you, obviously. So when you're getting into your 30s and you're still doing it, do you think going out at 17, 18, 19, 20, I mean, are you going to keep getting those calls when you're your age and then when you're my age? Like, but you have your education to lean back on and they're going to go, well, this dude went to Berkeley. He's still legit, blah, blah, blah. But this guy didn't go anywhere and he's got a drug problem, a drinking problem. He's a douchebag. Like, there's, you do learn kind of, I mean, you get the college experience out of the way. You kind of grow up. I mean, no matter what you do, you kind of grow up in college, right? A little bit. You see some things that you wouldn't normally see. And it's like, do you think that's, I mean, I guess your opinion, I'm asking your opinion. Is it better, you think, to do that unless you got a really good support system and you're coming from somewhere where it's like, you know, the business side of things, you know, I mean, you're not going to do what you do on the road. You know what I mean? Well, we all know, but it's like, do you think going to an educational, you know, program and getting that piece of paper shows people that you can stick to something and you're probably better off in the long run of your career. But if you just want to go out and make the quick buck and play for 5-10 years, is that kind of like, yeah, go do it at 17, have fun. Do you think that is like a give and take there?
It's definitely, it is a give and take, and it's two separate schools of thought, I think, where I'm kind of split in between a little bit, but I do think that there's value to it, and I think what you get out of going to a school like Berkeley, for example, or a music school in general, is that you get all these skills that you can use when you age and when you aren't good enough, when you don't look the part to get the calls for the gigs that we're talking about.
Like, bro, you don't look 30. 20s. I'm just throwing that out there. People can't see it when they listen, but there's no, you don't look 30, so like, you're going to get those
thank
gigs.
Thank you.
Hey, when I hit 40, this thing turned gray, and I was just like, I'm never going to go be a pop drummer. Like, that's...
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it's weird, because it's like, that's a really kind of weird, it's a weird societal construct that we have, especially in the music industry, where it's like, it's getting younger, too. It's like, some of the artists I get connected with that are like big artists, they're not even 20 years old yet.
Right, I know.
So they have like these age ranges in there, and I'll be applying to gigs where it's like, you know, we want an age range of 17 to 24. And they want, like, a real pro, though. They don't want, like, a kid. They want, like, a real pro. And, like, but they don't want anybody older than 24. And, like, it's like, whoa. And I'll still go in, and I'll apply to these things. But I'll be like, you know, sometimes I'll either say it, and I'll just be like, hey, I'm 30. Just look at my profile, and you'll see, like, I don't really look 30 or whatever. And I'm down, you know. It'll be cool, you know. Just trust me, you know. Or I just won't say it, and I'll let them ask.
Have you ever lied? You don't have to answer this. Have you ever lied to just say that you're younger?
Never lie. I've never lied. Sometimes I wonder if I should, but I've never lied. But sometimes I've omitted information on purpose just to see if they'll ask.
Yeah.
I think that might be the way to go. I'm not a big. I'm always a proponent of telling the truth, or if anything, maybe just leave it out and let them ask.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big. I don't like. You know. I prefer to tell the truth. I'd rather just not get the gig and like, you know, tell the truth. But like.
For sure.
But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I think like it depends. You have to think about you. It's a tough one because at an early age, you have to think about what are you trying to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to be a producer and get into engineering and get into all this other stuff and learn about sound design and whatever it is, then go to Berkeley or music school for sure, you know, or music business or whatever it is. And if you want a degree, of course, you got to go to school.
Right.
But if you just like want to be a drummer and you want to get on the road and tour, I think, you know, just to make it cut and dry, I would say no, don't go to school.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just my opinion from my experience now, is that I think if you're like trying to be an instrumentalist, especially a drummer,
and especially a drummer,
a percussionist, but any instrumentalist maybe, and you're young and you just want to go out there and tour, you're not concerned about necessarily the long term yet, you just want to get out there and do it.
Yeah.
I think don't waste your time in music school, because I think you're going to end up spending money that you don't need to spend. You're going to end up, if you have the talent, like, and you have the, like, look and the talent and all that stuff that goes along with it,
right,
you're going to get some gigs, and then you're going to build your skills, then you're going to build your network. And frankly, like I said, the biggest thing about music school is the network.
Yeah.
So if you go out there and do it and you build your network that way, that's even better, and you did it for free, you know? So
Right.
I will say, yeah, I think basically to make it, it's, there's a lot more variables that go into this, and I won't get into that because it's too much, but it's just basically – if you want to be the style, if you want to get out there and be on tour with a pop artist, I say as a drummer, don't go to school. Just go do it. Just go make it happen. And you have to be self-aware. Like, do you have the skills right now to do it? You know, and if you do, you don't have to be the most killing person either. Just go out there, figure out your image, like figure out who it is that you are as an artist yourself, and then go do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. But if you want to be a schooled musician, you want to learn a bunch of different things from acoustics to sound design to electronic production engineering or whatever, or music business, or you want a degree, or you want your certain skills that you want to develop that you know there's a teacher at that school that can teach you those things, then go to the school, then do that, you know?
Yeah. Well, even educate. Like, if you're, I mean, you're teaching, you know, like you said earlier, you kind of have to have something that proves that, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's a lot of teachers, unless you start young and you've done it for so long, you know, like that's good too. And you can prove that it's there. But yeah, if you're just going to start out at 17, 18, like, I can start teaching, like, you know, I'd rather go with a 24-year-old person with a degree. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
So yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. There's a lot of it to that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry about the tangent, but like, it made me think, like, oh shoot. Like, is there really like a, you said, a cut and dry way of thinking about it?
It's tough. It's a hard question because, I mean, I know a lot of people, like you said, like, I mean, they, you know, they go into it where there's pressure from school, there's pressure from parents, or maybe there's no pressure at all. And it depends who you are too. But I do think as a musician, it's a tough one because at an early age, you have to think about it really critically.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot, just kind of looking back on my like years of being a musician and things I could have done differently, maybe just to like get me to a certain point that I wanted to get to sooner.
Right.
And one of those things was like, you know, I could have skipped Berkeley. I could have skipped that whole thing. I do think I had the skills when I went into Berkeley at 17 to go be a professional. I was playing professionally at that point.
Yeah.
Not to the degree I am now, but I mean, I was playing professionally. So I had the skills, I think.
Yeah.
Enough to get into Berkeley and get a scholarship. So I think, you know, looking back on it, sometimes I do think that I should have just gone into, moved to L.A. then and made it happen, you know?
Sure.
But, and it also, the biggest part of that, too, one of the bigger things about that, too, is that, you know, I think you already, at that age, you haven't had a chance to, like, see all these other people and let it infiltrate who you are as an artist.
Yeah.
And so you haven't had this, like, feeling of like inferiority next to other musicians yet.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing either, because it makes you grow. But I think, like I said before, it slows the process a little bit. You have to like recognize it, deal with the hurt from it, and then like kind of recover and like learn from it. And then ultimately I think you can grow from it, but it takes time.
Yeah.
So ultimately it's all about time. And in this industry, the reality of it is like when you get older than 30, the reality of it is like there's certain gigs that you can't get anymore, you know, and you could be the most killing gemmel in the world. You could be the most best looking person in the world, but you're post 30 and you're getting older every year. There's certain gigs that they just won't give you anymore. You know what I mean? So,
well, yeah. I know we went on that tangent or whatever and you kind of went back to it, but like anything else that you were like from your Berkeley years and kind of where from there to now, where you were at, even the thought of, okay, I'm done. I'm moving to LA. We're going to do this thing. Like, anything else you want to share? Anything that was like, oh, shoot, like this is definitely like part of my story that's gotten to me here.
Yeah, I mean, I think mainly the one thing I'll kind of focus on is just that after Berkeley, which, again, for me was a good experience. Ultimately, mm-hmm. I graduated with like, you know, like magna cum laude. I had great grades.
Legit.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I mean, I put a lot into it and I really cared about, you know, when I do something, I try to do it as well as I can, you know, and So I was really proud that I graduated, but then afterwards, you know, I had actually been touring and playing the whole time, and then at the towards the end of Berkeley, it actually became, I actually was a double major. I was a major. I had music business and I had performance. Performance was the one that I really cared about. I was doing business because I figured, like I said, I'm here, so I may as well get another degree that it's a real college type degree.
Right.
And it was cool. It was, I mean, Berkeley's music business program is great. But what happened was at that point, when I by the time I added that degree or that major, that double major, I was already touring and doing a lot of gigging and stuff. So between my performance degree and the touring and stuff, I just couldn't like fit the time in to like put much into the business degree. So I ended up dropping it and I graduated, you know, on time. I could have graduated early if I didn't do the business at all, but I graduated on time. And I dropped it and I graduated just with performance. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after that, I was a little bit, I think I was a little bit discouraged for a little bit because I had been in these touring bands and then I kind of realized that there was a certain level of financial security that I was going to need to have. Yeah. And some of these things, although they had some clout or we were playing to big shows and stuff, it wasn't really paying the bills yet or at all, you know, and there was like this reality check. So I ended up getting into the whole, what we call it over in Boston is the GB scene, like general business music scene, which is like wedding bands and like corporate stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why it's like, I don't think anybody else calls it GB, but we call it GB at Berkeley in Boston and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I got into that. And honestly, I didn't appreciate it. I ended up getting a really good gig doing that, one of the best wedding bands still. They're one of the hottest bands in, wedding bands in Boston. Mm-hmm. But I was like, man, like, of course I got it. I'm too good for this to begin with. You know, that's how I felt at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I got the gig, and then but really, it was a great gig. Like, it was a cool gig. I just didn't appreciate it when I was 21 because I thought I should have been doing bigger things. And, like, so I did at that. I basically got into the whole GB wedding band scene in Boston for, like, 4 or 5 years. And up until I was 5 years. So when I was 26... I was still in a wedding band, you know, making good money. I was teaching like 40, 50 students a week.
Wow.
It was good. You know, I was making a living. I was playing music every day. I was playing live 4, 5, 6 times a week.
Yeah.
It was cool. But I was like, no, I haven't gone out to LA. I haven't given it the shot that I really want to yet. Yeah. So like, I got to do this now or never, you know? And so I pretty much dropped it all, dropped the wedding band thing. I am still involved. I'm on some wedding band rosters out here now, but I don't really do those gigs that much these days, but especially now. But yeah, I came out here and, you know, I think it was just, it was an up and down. And then coming out here, of course, I had nothing. So in the beginning, then I was like, of course, for the first few months, I'm like, wait. Maybe I should have stuck with that wedding band, you know? Maybe I should have just stayed in Boston. Like, I had a cool thing. I was in a cool original band there. We had good shows. We were still touring. I had a great gig. I had all these students. I'm like, why did I give that up? You know, you start to second guess yourself. But then next thing you know, you have a couple opportunities come up, and then you're like, okay, I see why I did this. And, I think at this point in time, I'm still at that point where I'm like, okay, I understand why I did this because I can go back and do that stuff anytime. Like I can go back to Boston if I really wanted to and rebuild that pretty quickly if I wanted to.
Right.
But now is the time to do this. And if it doesn't work out, then you can always fall back on some other stuff. But it's like, you know, I'm happy I did it.
So you've been in LA 4 years?
Exactly, like literally 4 years to almost the day.
So it seems to be working out. I mean, you didn't go back.
Yeah.
It is 3 years and then a COVID year. I always have to say that because, you know, nobody gigged. Nobody did anything. So what did we do? You know, we kind of changed everything. And when COVID hit, and I think you were doing it even beforehand, you started doing videos online, right? Like you did all that. You were doing covers. You're doing all this stuff like a lot of people did. And you were doing it before that too, right?
Yeah.
For those, I'll say it now, so don't forget. I'll probably say it at the end again. Your Instagram is Warden on Drums. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be, you know, if anybody wants to go look it up. It's going to be videos. You post pretty regularly. I mean, a couple times a week, different songs and you practicing and just kind of working out your chops and doing what you got to do, which is, I mean, it's just showing that you're working. You're working on yourself. I mean, you're working on being a better drummer.
That means a lot, man. I really appreciate you saying that. And I've always been doing that. I mean, the Instagram thing, it's like it came in 2011 or 12. I didn't quite catch on until probably like 2014 or 15 even, but I realized it was like kind of a big deal. So I honestly, like, dude, I tell this to all people all the time. I'm like, I don't think if it wasn't for like the fact that I really do think social media is a huge part of your career at this, like the way things are in this day and age.
Oh yeah.
I probably wouldn't have it. I say that. And then at the same time, I actually have grown to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of cool to like, you know, it's cool to put stuff out and see if people see it and see what the reaction is to whatever you do. Even if it's like 200 views, whatever it is, it's cool to just see. Also, you know, I think people for generations have been filming themselves playing the drums, and you look back and see, like, okay, what can I do to be a better performer? What can I do to, like, fix my technique? Mm-hmm. But when you do the Instagram thing, you kind of naturally end up seeing all that stuff, you know? Yeah. So I think it is a good tool, actually, you know? Yeah.
No, for sure. And it catalogs everything. You know, people can go back and look at stuff that you did forever ago and then that get inspired by that. I mean,
exactly.
That never was there, but I mean, even though there's YouTube, like, it's all on one page. So you can just scroll through somebody's thing. Like YouTube, you just turn into this YouTube cycle. So there is a big difference, which is, it's kind of cool. It just catalogs it. It's perfect.
No, for sure, man. I think it is really cool. And again, it's kind of similar to that same idea we talked about going, you know, to college or not,
mm-hmm.
having to sort of make decisions at a really young age with that right. are tough to make.
Right.
Like I can't even, it's hard for me to say that because it's like, I can't expect any 17-year-old to make those type of decisions, but I think it is important. You have to try to think about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a similar concept here because I think it's just like, you have to decide like, okay, I'm going to do this Instagram thing, but I'm going to use it for my betterment and to maybe connect with other people, but I'm not going to let it like stress me out
yeah.
and let me like, you know, take the blinders off and look at everybody else and what they're doing and like how much better they are than me and like yeah. how much more they're all doing. Cause I think that can be really detrimental, you know? Yeah.
There are times cause I've always gone like, oh man, I should do that. I literally have a studio right here. I'm sitting in it and it's like, I got cameras, I got lights. Should I just post stuff? And I'm like, oh man, it actually stresses me out. Like you said, it's funny because drummers all are different. You know what I mean? I feel like everyone's good at something. There's that one right. little thing that you're really good at, you know, and it's like there's guys that I know that are doing this. I mean, basically for a living, they don't have to tour because everything they do is monetized and they just get mm-hmm. which is great. This is amazing. But they're influencing these people just on drums. I'm not saying they're influencers. I'm saying they're influencing people on drums and they're just
right.
they're creative and they're doing all these things. It's like, man, if I could had 40 hours a week to put into it like a job, yeah, it'd be awesome. But it's like, I love the fact that you said like, it's not going to stress me out, but I'm still going to do it. I think it's good that right. it's a good tool. Cause like I've told students, like, if you want to record stuff, just record a buttload of stuff one day and put it out at random. I mean, like put out a fill here and there, put out whatever.
Yes.
If you're just practicing, who cares? Just as long as you're honest with everybody and say, I'm just working this out. Yeah. It's not good. I'm working it out. Who cares? You know, like,
right.
And that's what, I mean, really, that's what social media is. You're just putting yourself out there. No one,
yeah.
and you don't want to read the comments all the time, but like there's haters. Of course there's going to be haters, but you know what? You're putting yourself out there.
You know, you're cool when there's a hater.
Oh yeah. You know, yeah. You know, you're cool. And they're like, oh, you suck.
Like, honestly, if you don't have a hater, that's honestly the worst sign ever. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I feel like the best sign ever you got, like if everybody's a hater, maybe you should like take a look, you know, but
well, right.
if there's one hater, that's a fucking good sign.
There's
you know
yeah,
I mean?
If there's like, one person trolling you and it's not, and you yeah. don't know them personally and they're just being a dick. Then
exactly.
Yeah. It's like,
it's
oh,
a good sign. That means people are paying attention and they're jealous of you. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So that means
that's
you're
right.
doing something right. You know,
but the beauty of it is like one person says some like snide comment and like 50 people are like, oh, screw you, man. They're putting themselves like they all come to your rescue or whatever. But I'm always
right.
like, yeah, I don't read. I mean, Instagram is different because it's personal, right? Like it turns into I'm seeing your life. I'm looking in your world and doing all this stuff. There's some things that I keep private, like obviously wife, kids. I mean, I don't always post that stuff up to my band. Obviously, my personal page, I will even the Boom Truck page. Every now and then I'll post stuff about me, but this isn't about me. This is about drummers. You know what I mean? So it can be like a window into what you're doing. And if your life is drums. So that's 90% of your posts, right? Like,
yeah.
And I mean, I think that's cool. I applaud you. I think it's great putting yourself out there. I wish I could do it more. I want to. I'm gonna try to be like you and do it more. Tell me about the studio in LA, because it looks pretty legit. I think you got a cool room. Is this your house? Is this something separate? Like, do you have a cool space that you're doing all these videos and all the production and stuff out of it? Or like, what's
yeah,
going
so
on there?
This is a very, it's very legit. It is not my house and it's not my studio either.
Okay.
It's actually, so my band, it's basically to make a long story short, it's my manager's studio, so
okay.
my management studio.
Yeah.
So it's called Latium Entertainment.
Yep.
They have a bunch of artists that work in here, but So since COVID happened, I had a lockout in Hollywood before, which was my own like kind of studio, but not like this. Like this is like a sound treated room. I mean, like tens of thousands of dollars went into building this room, you know?
Yeah.
And like I had like a little like, you know, room a couple blocks down the road, but it wasn't, you couldn't record in there like you can in here.
Yeah.
And unless you put a lot of like work into it. But this is my Latium's room. It's not my room. I'm just one of their like artists. I'm not like a signed artist. I'm their like drummer. So when they need a drummer for their artist, I play drums for their artist.
Oh, right on. Cool.
And I was just having drinks actually before this with Nick, the A&R from Latium. He's a great guy. I mean, I love I'm really close with all these guys. So like, whenever it's free, which during COVID was pretty much almost 100% of the time,
yeah.
I'm in here. I can set up my drums, basically use it as my like shedding space. I just have to be like respectful of the,
sure,
you know, keep the temperature low, but, well, low because I'm sweating anyway, but also because like all the gear in here has to be like relatively cool,
right?
You know, like obviously, like if they need it, I have to be pretty on call. Like if they suddenly need it for an artist, I have to come in here and like take the drums down and pack them up, put them in the corner or whatever,
right.
But yeah, so this is I'm in Hollywood right now. I'm in like kind of East-ish Hollywood, to give you guys a sense of like where I'm at, which is like the center of like, I mean, right here it's Sunset and Gower, which I don't know if people know about California and Los Angeles, but this is like, I mean, right now, like every major rehearsal in the city that's happening is happening within like 1 mile of here. And that means like every major rehearsal that's happening almost in the world right now is happening like right here.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So this Sunset and Gower location is like so many studios. I run into Randy Jackson in the hallway here all the time.
Nice.
Like, I mean, his guitar is like right behind me.
Nice.
And I'll be like, one day I saw him and I was like, oh shit, that's Randy Jackson. I was like, hey man. And he was like, oh, what's up? You know, and like he has a studio here. So like it's a real legit place. Like I said before here, I had a couple of drinks with Nick, the A&R, but also the guy who owns this building, Sujit, who's like he owns Scam Artists, which is like it's a record label for DJs.
Yeah.
And I mean, he has like platinum plaques on platinum plaques in the hallways. So I mean, it's like they're really, really legit people here.
Yeah.
So they have really cool rooms, and I'm really appreciative that I can use it. You know, as an artist, I try to like I play with their artists when they need me to and stuff.
Yeah.
But we have a great thing going. It's really cool. So,
that's
but
awesome.
This is not my studio. Like I'm actually right now. I'm looking at getting another space for myself separately, just so that I have a lot of like recording work now, so I kind of need to be able to do it like on call and have it done like that day. So sometimes I can't just hop in here like that day.
Yeah.
And so I'm realizing that I might need to like get my own space again. But for now, this has been great, especially during COVID. It's been really good.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. How did you get linked up with them?
So that was just through the band that I was in before. So and again, Instagram. It was all Instagram. So.
Nice.
A good tying back to the social media thing where I had done a couple cool gigs out here, nothing crazy, but February of 2019, I got a call from, or I got a DM from this guy, DJ Flicked, who's a really great guy as well. And he's done some really serious records, got some Grammy noms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he hit me up on Instagram and he was like, hey, we got this project based in Long Beach. It's like, it seems like you're a good fit for it. We need a drummer. It's like a reggae rock kind of like Sublime-esque thing happening based out of Long Beach. And you look like you fit the vibe, like you're within the age range we want. Like they want somebody less than 30. And then I saw him and I saw that I get messages almost every day. People like, hey, you want to play my band? And it's like, sometimes I'll always respond, but sometimes it's something I may not be willing to like go try it out. But this was like, I could see all of his credits and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I better hit him back. So I called him back like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked on the phone for like an hour. And like, he was telling me all about it. We had a lot in common. I mean, he's like friends with Travis Barker and like, I love Travis Barker. And like, you know, he's like, yeah, well, I'll introduce him at some point. I'm like, oh my God, like,
nice.
Tell me more. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I'm like, what else is there to, you know? And he's like, well, these guys are, you know, these guys are really cool. They're really good songwriters. They need a band. They're just, you know, new, but they're like, we expect them to like be doing some cool things. And it's going to be not like an artist and a band. It's going to be like a band. Like you guys are going to be all in the band. And that's what I like the most. Cause like I've done plenty of gigs where you're like the drummer and like
you're
for
the drummer.
For the artist.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But like, I wanted to be in a band where like I had some say in like the creative part of it, and I wanted to be friends with the people in the band. Like, that's the dream, you know?
Right.
And
right.
It seemed like it was a cool opportunity for that. So they put me together with these four other guys, and we started a band. It turned into Fourth and Orange, which was we put a whole album out. It was amazing. It was honestly one of the best musical experiences I've ever had in my entire career. I mean, we got signed to Atlantic Records on like a pretty like a deal that I never would have thought a band like that could get signed to. Like, I can't even to this day. I'm like, I can't believe the deal we got, you know? And like, it was a cool, you know, but you know, and we were all young, and we none of us had ever signed like a major record deal before. So we all were like, you know, absolutely. Yeah. It's great. Great experience. Let's do it. And this is like clout. It's everything. Money. It's everything. Yeah. And I think it really was. It was great. And I think, you know, we toured a little bit. We played several good festivals, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
So really, like, we signed, to put things into timing perspective, we signed officially with Atlantic Records in like, it was like June or like July. We put our first release out in June of 2019.
Okay.
So I guess we were officially signed in like mid-June of 2019. So then we put out records like, or singles like every couple months after that. But then we got booked to Paradigm Talent Agency, and we started booking tours at the end of 2019, and we had like a whole 2020 was going to be like the it was the year of tours. We had tour after tour after tour booked with like I was honestly blown away. Like, I couldn't even believe some of the people we were going to be opening for.
Yeah,
like I was on cloud 11. Like, I was just like, I was so stoked. So on March 11th or whatever, when we got the call that everything was canceled, and you know, we had been working really hard too. We were like working like at least 40 hours, 60, maybe even 60 hours a week, rehearsing, recording, doing, you know, interviews, like just getting everything, trying to get our stuff together for the tour. And then all of a sudden that's canceled. And then the next one's canceled. And then it was like, you know, we started to realize like what was actually happening here. And then, you know, we tried to make the most of it. We did a bunch of live streaming during COVID last year, from like July through, I think, October. We did like, I think we did like 15 to 20 live streams.
Oh, wow.
Like,
yeah.
With different people. We did all these different things. We did like a whole live stream tour. We did like, you know, it was all in here.
Yeah.
Or mostly in here. And, you know, it was cool. But, you know, then I think it was just, it was a lot for everybody to handle, and financially people had been kind of held off from moving on because we were expecting to kind of keep going with the touring.
Yeah.
And then we didn't have a new record deal. We didn't have any tours going on. So financially things got tough for people. And yeah, we ended up having to call it quits as a band, which is really too bad. So like,
that's,
you know,
bummer. Yeah.
A few months ago, we basically called it quits as a band, and it wasn't really my decision. It's mostly like, you know, it was just like one of those situations where one person is not down anymore, and you can't really go on without that person. So you know, it is what it is. But COVID had a big part in it. So like, I'm, you know, I don't want to like,
it's a bummer,
place any blame on anybody, but I, you know, it was a cool thing, and it's just like situations happen, you know. Yeah. So,
and you're not, I mean, dude, you're not the only one. There's so many bands that I've played with at festivals and whatever, and COVID just really that killed them. Like, it just like, you know, what, it's time to move on. We did this for 10 years. Some of them, we did this for a little bit.
Right.
And they're just like, you know what, even local bands, man, that's just like, I'm done. Honestly, Chris and I, my bandmate, we were like pretty much like, I mean, it was kind of a blessing in disguise, because we were like trying to ramp back up and do things. We had already taken breaks, you know, whatever. And then it was like, now we don't have to book and play these random shows all over. It's like, we can just write. This is what we wanted to do, and it hopefully will work out. But yeah, I mean, we're not touring or doing anything. So it's like, we were this close to calling it, but it could always come back. You do whatever, but it's like, man, if
of course
someone's not in it, you're kind of screwed. You know what I mean? Like, you can come back.
Of course, man.
Whatever.
It's a team effort, man. I mean, this being a drummer is very much a team effort. Like, you have to look at it like that. It's a fucking, I mean, in a good way and a bad way sometimes. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. That's sad. I was a question of mine about Fourth and Orange, because I listened to all the music, did whatever, and I was like, oh, this is actually really good. So That's a bummer. You need to get the, Tell them I said get the band back together. Let's do it.
I mean, trust me. I was just with, like I said, I was just with the A&R, and he was like, man, it really is a bummer. You guys were so sick. Like,
yeah. Well, let's shift a little bit here. I want to talk about the companies that you use, the companies that you play, the endorsements and all that kind of stuff. I'm a fellow Los Cabos stick artist, which is great. I love those freaking sticks. What kind of sticks do you play?
So I play the 8A's.
Dude.
8A's with the wood round tip. Is
yes.
that what you play?
So I was always a 5A guy, and I just went down 2 weeks ago. I was in Austin, and I was like, I don't know. My hands hurt. We've been practicing a lot. My hands started hurting, and I grabbed those things, and dude, I fell in love with them. Like in a studio session, and I was like, I'm not going back. And I had a big pile of them, and I was just like, I took my 5A's and kind of did this, and that's all I'm playing now. I love them. Dude.
I feel you. I used to be a 5B guy with Vader, and yep. like I was like, I'm like, now I pick up those sticks, I'm like, what are these, like wood cheddars? Like, I'm like, you know, like,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I love Los Cabos, man. I mean, I, like, for years I played Vader sticks, and mm-hmm. I love their sticks too, but, like, honestly, Los Cabos, like, they're such good people, and their products are, like, they're really top notch.
Dude,
like,
they are.
I think they're pitch matched, which I don't think a lot of companies don't do now. Like, you know, right. a lot of the big ones don't do.
They don't have time.
And
yeah.
I think the sticks are just, like, they're amazing. Like, you can't, I don't know anybody that's played the sticks that can really say that they're not, that they're worse than, like, Vic Firth or Vader
right.
or any of the major companies. They're not.
Right.
In my opinion, they're better, but they're at least as good. You know
Bro,
what I
you,
mean? Like,
you get those red hickories, you're not, I mean, yeah, sticks break. We hit metal objects and plastic with wood sticks. They're going to break.
Yeah.
But, bro, you get some, like, red hickories on there, you're fine for a long time. And
yeah,
you're good to go, man. I love the sticks. I love being a part of that family. Shout out to Phil and everybody up there. But
yeah, man, Phil's the man. And, like,
is.
Yeah, shout out to Phil. And, like, I love that. I hope the whole crew, I love their breast cancer awareness. My mom
yeah,
has had breast cancer twice recently.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And, like, I love that they do that. I think they're great people. I think that,
yeah.
I mean, their products are amazing. Yeah, I mean, any drummer should really play Los Cabos drumsticks for sure. And I'm not saying that as an endorser. I, like, legitimately mean that. Like,
yeah,
I mean there's no reason not to. The prices are fine. Like, they're great sticks.
Yep.
They're like a small company that really cares. Like, play Los Cabos, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
and
really,
the bigger they get, I mean, honestly, the bigger they get, they're still the same people. They're not,
exactly,
we're not going to become a number, we're not going to get lost. It's just that I'm still talking to everybody, and it's like,
yeah,
they take care of us. You could be absolutely no one on their roster, and they're going to take care of you just like Mike Sleeth. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't,
exactly,
it doesn't,
man.
We're all the same in their eyes.
That's
what
I think is super cool about them too, is that I see some of the art. Sometimes I'm really surprised. I'm like, oh shit, that drummer is, like, on their roster. It's like a really big cat, you know? Like,
but it's because,
like,
they make
oh.
great sticks. Like, I mean, you can't argue with that, right?
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't. And that's what I'm saying, man. Like, you, like, really, like, drummers listening, like, buy those sticks.
Yeah.
Again, it's not an endorser trying to tell you that. It's just like, man, like,
well,
it's not more expensive than other sticks. They're a small company. They're awesome. They're good people. Like, they're pitch matched.
Yep.
Do it.
There's a
just
reason. There's a reason we both endorse them, because we believe in them and we use them, like, for real, use them. So that's good. And then you just recently, I mean, I guess within 2020, 2021, you recently signed with Love Custom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What kit are you playing? Because I've talked to a few guys that have done stuff. I've researched a lot of Love stuff. I'm sure there's, what was the kit that you just got? It was something crazy,
so,
right?
Man, I'm so stoked about it, because I'm like, I'm about to set it up right in here right now. But like, it's the, it's an aluminum kit, all aluminum, right? I love, like, I've never in my life owned an all metal drum set in my life.
Yeah.
Not once. And I love it so much. Like, so how this started was, like, back in 2016, before I moved to LA, I was already planning on moving here.
Yeah.
I came out to NAMM. I had, like, a guest pass to NAMM.
Yeah.
And I came out just check it out and, you know, spend the time out here and just see what LA was like.
Yep.
And that was the year that I, like, ran into the Love Custom and the Legato Cymbals, which I'm sure you're going to ask about.
Same booth,
like,
right?
They're kinda, like, they're kind of part, they're homies, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, they're together. And, like, I ran into both of those guys, And then I happened to see, not only did I play, he had this one kit out there that was like, it was an aluminum kit and it was all like red Coke bottle sort of like color, like sparkle finish.
Yep.
And it was like a 7 or 8 piece kit or 9 or maybe it was a big kit. And I played on it and it was like, oh my God. I was like, yo. And he had like, at the time, I think he had Meinl cymbals on it. Yeah, whatever. It was cool. But like, anyway, like the point is like the drums were amazing. I was like, I was blown away. Then I got to see some, like, Eric Moore came and playing on them. Yeah. I loved the look of the drums. The drums sounded great.
Yeah.
Immediately, I hit up Buddy, and I was like, dude, like, I love your drums. Like, I didn't really have much going on except for wedding bands at the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't have a lot going on, but, like, I would love to, like, work with you guys in the future. He was like, yeah, and he followed me, and then we ended up talking more. And then as once I got this 4th and Orange gig and we were doing some tour and we were touring again, he was like, dude, like let's do a drum set, let's do an Orange drum set, you know. Nice. Let's like make a custom kit for you.
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely, you know. So we made an aluminum kit, all orange sparkle.
Yeah.
What we did was, to be specific, was the snare is 5.5 by 14. The mm-hmm. Then we have, it's a 5 piece or 6 piece including the timbale. So we have, then we have 10 by 7, I believe.
Yeah.
Don't quote me. I might be wrong. 10 by 7, 12 by 9, I want to say. Maybe it's 12 by 7. I got to look it up again, but it's 12.
Yeah.
And then we got a 14 by 14 or whatever. And okay. Then we got a 22-inch kit. So, and the kit sounds like, man, like I'm telling you, like we said about Los Cabos, like I wouldn't lie, because if the kit came out and it sounded like shit,
yeah,
I would probably just like, I don't know what I would do, but I definitely wouldn't say this.
Right.
But I would definitely talk to Buddy about it. But the kit came out, and when I pulled the stuff out of the boxes and I played it, I didn't even touch them. That's like my test. They were the best drums I've ever played in my life.
Nice.
Best drums I've ever played in my life. Like undeniably, I played DW. DW was my last brand. Then there was also Pearl. I mean, I love those brands, but man, out of the box,
yeah,
nobody was better than Love Custom, man. Like nobody.
That's awesome.
And like, honestly, to tell you a little tiny backstory to that, like the only drums I played out of the box that were so killing were randomly a student's drum set that I set up when I was like 22. And it was a Yamaha kit. And honestly, I was blown away when I set them up. And I was like, I was hired to set them up and to tune them.
Yeah.
So when I went to tune them, I was like, I'm not going to tune them. Yep. They sound great.
Yep.
They sound great. You know, like, I didn't touch them. I was like, dude, like, I'm not going to mess this up. This sound great.
Yep.
You know, like, and I was blown away. I was like, yo, this isn't even like a professional Yamaha kit. This is like their, I don't even remember what the model is, but like whatever their like secondary kit is, it was that.
Yeah, yeah.
And this shit was killing. Like, yep. Oh my God.
Every time I get a new Yamaha drum, I don't do anything to it. I leave the factory head on it till I blow it out. Like, yeah.
I was very impressed, man. And like, I'm from a guy that doesn't play a lot Yamaha drums at all. Like, mm-hmm. It really has no, except for that, has no experience, you know? And so I was blown away. Between that time and now, I've played DW, I played Pearl, but Tama, they're all great. Pearl, I love the most, probably. But when I got these Love Custom aluminum drums that I designed,
yeah,
man, nothing has come out of the box sounding as good since those Yamaha drums, and they're better than the Yamaha drums. They're so dope. And then, of course, Buddy's, like, a great person.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he's there. If you want to, like, oh, what mount should I use, or what head would be best for this drum? Dude, I could text him at, like, 2 a.m., and this guy will probably get back to me. You know what I mean? Like,
nice.
And, like, he'll just be like, yo, dude, like, just get this thing. You know what I mean? You want me to send you one? And it's like, you know, that's what I want, dude.
Yeah.
I don't care how big or how small I ever get.
Yeah.
I want to support these guys that are like Buddy Love,
yeah,
and like Carlos from Legato, and like, you know, Phil from Los Cabos. I would rather make these guys big any day than like try to like be like latch on to the Vic Firth Zildjian thing.
Right.
Of course, those brands are killing. I'm not trying to put them down at all. They're great. But I would rather personally, like, I would rather build up a small brand and, like, be connected to those guys. I'm not, you know, I'm not anything huge either. So it's like,
right.
I'd rather build them up with me.
yeah,
than like try to, you know,
absolutely.
I'd rather do that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Let's talk about legato. So you, do you have a specific set of cymbals that you play kind of all the time, no matter what you do? Or do you have just like a plethora and you're just kind of pulling and taking from this bag of cymbals?
That's a good question too, because I currently I have a very specific set of cymbals, and that's because I got a whole set of cymbals stolen from me in March of 2021, like March. This is the past March. Yeah. I had my car broken into in downtown LA. All my shit was stolen. And like that was all my cymbals too. All my cymbals. Like not just legato, like all my cymbals. And so that was a big loss. But yes, I have a very specific set of cymbals, but I actually have a lot that I like am ordering currently that I want to use for these upcoming like shows and tours that are like starting to develop.
Yeah.
But right now the cymbal setup is I use a 20-inch Royalty FX Crash on my left side.
Okay.
And underneath that, it's a 10-inch Royalty Splash. On the right side, a 22 Aya, which I think is a really killing line that they have, Aya Crash Ride.
Okay.
And then on the right side further, I have 19-inch Aya Crack. So that's the whole setup, yeah, pretty much, right? Oh, and then I have 15-inch Luxo hybrid hi-hat.
Yeah.
I think legato is like, I'm like blown away by their products, but like,
yeah,
honestly, yeah, one of the things that I will say is that what I'm ordering now is a new ride, because I need a ride that's like what I realized was the Aya ride is really great for like crash riding. Even though it's 22, it's a very thin cymbal. Like I show my friends all the time, I can bend that thing like in half.
Wow.
You know, like, literally, dang, like I can bend it to the point where the two sides touch each other. And like, it's such a thin, I love that. But you can't really like, if you're trying to like go hard on the ride, you can't use it as a ride like that. So
it gets too washy. Yeah.
Too washy, way too washy. And, but it's a great cymbal. But so I'm trying to get, what I had before was a 21-inch Steward. It's it's like their more jazzy line.
Yeah. Okay.
Ride, Steward ride or whatever. And, that's what I'm trying to get, another one of those. Cause they have a lot of other lines that are more like, you know, like thicker cymbals, better for like riding. And so I need to get like one other ride for that. But then also I'm trying to get like a China, which may be like a Royalty. I'm trying to figure that out I'm actually in the process with Carlos of maybe designing like a custom, like a trash kind of stack or whatever.
Nice. Cool.
Cause I need like either a China or a trash stack or something to go with me.
Yeah.
So whatever Carlos recommends, we're going to figure that out. But I'm going to get like a new ride and a new trash stack or a China or something. But he's,
nice,
man, another guy that's just like a small company, great dude. I mean, great, amazing products. Like, I love those cymbals.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to play Sabian, and they're also amazing. But again, it was more about like I would rather support a smaller company.
Right.
And right. I can literally hit this dude up any day, and he's going to be like, he's going to give me a call and be like, hey, what up, Sam? You want to come up and chill, you know, have a beer?
Yeah.
Dude, I would rather that any day, you know? It's like, you know, I just want to like connect with human beings. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. It is all about relationships, even with any endorsement or whatever. It's still about
anything, man. It's
even the big companies, you still like the relationships you have with people. That's what it's all about, man. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
How about heads or hardware? Do you have any other endorsements, or do you just use specific other things?
So those are my three official endorsements.
Okay.
And currently I'm working on Remo, because like Remo, I mean, there's also this company called Code Drumheads that I really think their products are cool.
Yeah.
And I'm working on that, but I don't endorse them officially. So, but the two, I probably wouldn't endorse anybody besides Remo or these people Code.
Yeah.
And that's not because I don't think their products or anybody else's products are good. I just like those two products personally.
That's what you use, right? Like,
yeah. I've always used Remo. I've tried Code. They're again another small company, but Remo I've always used, and I've just always I just know their products.
Right.
I like you know what you're gonna get.
Right.
I love their Emperor. Like I love their, like, I mean, for the toms, I love the Emperor Clears. Like, for the snare, I love the Ambassador coded.
Yep.
You know, I have very specific things that I know from Remo that'll work for me and my sound. So, you know, Remo is my thing, and I would love to get an endorsement with Remo, but it's been, you know, they're tough. They're a tough guy. They're tough.
Yeah.
They're tough to get a hold of over there.
Yep.
But Remo, you know, and then I use DW hardware for the most part. But I don't have endorsement with DW at all. So I buy stuff. I have my 9,000 double pedal. I have my 3,000 hi-hat pedal. I have my all my stuff from them. So it's all DW though. Yeah.
Here's a question. When you mentioned that you have the 9,000 double, when you put it up to your 3,000, do you feel like it's different? Like obviously the 9,000s, they're cream of the crop. The 3,000 is kind of it's not a budget stand by any means, but it's not a 9,000 pedal. So do you feel like there's any difference between your left foot and your right foot as you're going?
Man, that's such a good question. Cause to be honest with you, especially cause I'm not an endorser of these products, I'm not going to lie. Like, no. Like,
really?
The short answer is no. Like, I think that's really funny because, like, I mean, I've played, like, for a long time, I played the 3,000 double pedals. Yeah. And, like, I remember I actually owned a 9,000 double pedal at the time. I was actually at a gig, and a drummer happened to be at the show came up to me, and he was like, he looked at my pedals. He was like, oh, bro, you got to upgrade. And I was like, what? To what? Yeah. I actually was like, to what? What do you mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, to the 9,000s. I was like, dude, I have the 9,000s. I like these better.
Yeah.
And like, he was like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I have the 9,000 at home. I could have run this gig. I just prefer the 3,000s. You know what I mean? Like, and he was like, what? And I'm like, I didn't even know at the time that how much more money that the 9,000s were than the 3,000s.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I didn't even know.
There's a lot more engineering in that 9,000 for sure.
To be honest with you though, I think once you learn how to use the 9,000s, because there's a lot of different things, like adjusting the tension and stuff, is different. It's a little more complicated than some of the other pedals out there, in my opinion. So once you learn that stuff, it's a great pedal. But if you're just trying to get... No, the answer to your question is, I don't think... If you're trying to save a little money, the 3,000s are great. I don't think you need to get the 9,000s,
That's awesome. A great tip. Great tip. Well, yeah, man. I mean, that's pretty much all the questions I had for you. It was good. I mean, we flew through them all.
Dude, you're a blast, man. I mean, I feel like I could talk with you about this stuff forever.
Oh, dude, I'm a gear nerd, so we could just talk about gear freaking all day if we had to. But I like figuring out and learning how people came up, any struggles they went through or doing whatever. It's it's gonna affect somebody. It's gonna help somebody out. It's gonna help people make better decisions and do whatever. Plus, I mean, drummers, if we're not nice to each other, the drums are just going to go away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have to be nice to each other and help each other, serve each other, do what we got to do, man. We all got to be friends, depending on no matter what genre or whatever. I talk to country drummers. I talk to gospel drummers. I talk to rock drummers, metal drummers. It doesn't matter, man. We're playing the same crap. We're playing the same gear. We're just hitting it at different tempos, you know? So,
man, Chris, I think what you're doing is so cool. And I just want to tell you straight up, man, you're dope. You are a great guy.
You too, bud.
And seriously though, I really appreciate what you're doing because I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like just doing this in general is cool. But there's a whole, what you just said is really important. This is the last thing I want to say.
Yeah.
It really means a lot to me is that I think in this day and age, 2021, we are, I wouldn't say jeopardized, but we're getting replaced by we're getting replaced by electronic drums a lot of the time.
Yeah,
and that's the reality of it. That's just how it is. And we're not, I don't think live drumming is ever going to go away, but I do think that it's getting
studio
tougher.
Drumming will though.
Yeah, it's getting tougher, you know? Yeah. And I think what you just said is really key because us staying connected, and especially if you look at what's happening currently with music trends, and we got Machine Gun Kelly's out there making pop punk music. We got Jaden Hosser making pop punk. We got all these new artists making punk music. But whatever it is, whether you like the music or not, what I think is cool is that they have live drummers on their tracks.
Yes.
And what people don't realize that don't know music is that a lot of pop music doesn't have. There's no drummer that got paid for that shit.
Right.
There was a producer that made the beat, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know? And, that's cool too. But like, as a drummer, I want to hear drums, you know? And I think you do too. And I think a lot of us do.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to remember that. And like, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to sway anybody's musical, you know, preferences, but I do think that there's a lot of value to live instrumentation. And I think that we got to keep that alive. And I think that the connection that we have between you and I, between me and any other drummer, and between you and any other drummer, me and any other musician, and any other person that's in this industry, keep that connection, because like, we can't lose the human element of this shit. Because as soon as we do, those artists that hire us or don't hire us, whether they do or don't, they're screwed too. And they don't know it yet, but they're screwed too if they lose us.
I mean, if you really gotta think. If you listen to I'm from Detroit originally, right? So like, they still play Motown stuff. Motown was straight up, let's go in the back room and record this song real quick. Live band. Michael Jackson. Live band. Like, it was like, these songs are still played, still up here played. I mean, there's still radio playing all this, like, pop artists fade, you know, like, you're good for, if you got a career after 5 years, you're killing it. But like, there's guys like Ash Sloan, who's on every other record out there that's on pop radio.
Ash Sloan, beast. Unbelievable.
I love
man,
him.
If you
I love
checked
him
out, check that. Seriously, good mention. What a great drummer, dude.
Yeah, but you got to think, like, when there is a human element to it, the songs are just better, period.
They are, man. And I don't think people know that, but when they hear it, they know it. And they don't know the difference. They don't know exactly what it is, but we do.
Yeah.
And it's the live thing, man. It's the live, it's the natural, organic thing, you know? And it's like, we got to keep that alive. I think we really do. I think there's some electronic music has its place, and I love it.
Yeah.
But I think that we cannot lose. We can't compromise original music for budget. We have to, you know, and that's what happens. We lose drummers a lot of times because it costs more to record a drummer properly than to make a beat on Pro Tools or whatever, you know?
Well, that's why I'm pumped about, like, Darren King just released his new, like, loop sample pack. And it's like, having the live drummer, and it's freaking Darren King, but having the live drummer, and here's samples. Here's actually me hitting a snare drum. Yeah, it's going to be perfect and chopped and whatever, but here's me playing a loop. And then it's like, oh, okay, all right. And that's I'm okay with that, because Darren's getting paid for that crap. You know what I mean? Like, and he played it. That's okay. Like, but it's like, at some point, we're going to see this thing live, and it's not going to be Darren King. It's going to be somebody else, as long as it is somebody else and not just some track. You know what I mean? I don't like that.
No, and I think that's great, man. And that's a really good point too, is the whole, that's a big thing happening now for drummers, is the live, the sampling thing, the sample pack situation.
When's the Sam Ward sample pack coming out?
I actually have a sample pack available now. I have a full sample pack available. I don't tell people enough, because I would rather like get in the studio and play on your track like right now.
Yeah.
But I do have a sample pack available. I have a new one coming out soon. So, like, it's like, but yeah, you're right about that. Like, just being anything, like, even if it's from a sample pack, just hearing a live loop that a real drummer played is just, I think, I really do think, like, most styles of music can benefit from that at this point, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, buddy, man, it was good. It was nice to meet you, dude. And I do want to point out, again, follow you on Instagram, Warden on Drums. You have tons of videos on there. You got posts on there from like your recent vacation to Europe, right? Did some cool things there. You just got engaged recently, so that's good too. I mean, you're basically, it's you. There's no hiding it. I mean, your drums is you, and it's your life. You're just showing everybody what a cool dude you are. What a great time you're having, and what your life looks like, which is great. That's what Instagram is for. So I want everybody to go follow you. And watch what you're doing, and watch and learn from the master himself, right? So,
man, Chris, I really appreciate that, man. Thank you, man. I really do try to put out my life out there, so it's not just the best moments, but we all do put out the best moments, you know? And it's just like, but I like people to see, like, my fiance and my life, like, I'm an adult, but I'm also trying to be like a young kid playing drums with pop punk bands still.
Right.
You know, the reality of it is funny, you know? It's like, it's cool. It's cool and it's funny. It's weird, you know?
But it is
like,
weird.
Where I'm 30 and I'm like living this adult life, but I'm also playing like pop punk bands, and I'm like still
like
taking shots at the club. And I don't know, you know, it's weird. It's
Bro,
like,
never,
it's cool.
It never goes away. I mean, I got a I got a wife who works a corporate job. I have three kids. I'm 40 years old, and I'm still in a freaking band trying to make money.
And
you know?
Chris, keep doing it, bro, because that's the shit. That's the shit. That's the shit that, like, that's what inspires the next generation of people to do this.
Oh, for sure.
And it's not, of course, the big guys will always inspire, and I appreciate that, but the guys that, like, us that are doing this and just love to do it, yeah, and just whatever happens, whether we get big or not or whatever, and we hit, you know, we just love to do it. Like, just, I love that, man. Like, yep. that's the shit. So, like, yeah, respect. And thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Cool. Awesome. Stay in touch, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Chris. I'll talk to you soon, man. Have a great night.
Sam, thank you so much for visiting me at Boomchuck, a Drummer's Podcast. You can follow me at Boomchuck on Instagram, and you can follow Sam at Warden Drums on Instagram. Pretty much any other social media outlet, Sam's constantly posting videos of drumming and his life and what he's doing, so please go follow him. I thank everyone for coming and listening. I had a great time with this conversation, Sam. It was nice to meet you. Here is Sam playing with one of his bands that he was in for a long time called Naughty Octopus. Thank you guys so much for listening.